Friday, it's just after 11 o'clock, and we've had a busy week. There's been an awful lot of discussion about the various issues of the day, the week, whatever it might be. But now it's time, just at the end of the week, to take a break, to pause for breath, and to talk about other things that interest us in this life. And for some, it's the stage. For others, it's the cinema. Others, it's TV. It's all of it. And we're in the company now of Fionnuala Rabbitt. Welcome back, Fionnuala. Long time no have you on.
I know.
Feelings?
I would like to tell you I missed you when I was sunning myself in Portugal, but
I'd check your temperature if you did.
Sadly, no.
No, I don't
it
think so.
It was lovely.
Michael Leddy, who actually enjoys coming.
It's only been a week since I've been here, but Greg, I have missed you.
It's been emotional.
It's been a terrible week.
Indeed. Listen, it's great to have you on board. Right, okay. Oh, great to have you in. What are we going to talk about? This week, really what I've been doing when I had a chance, and the chances were few and far between, is catching up on the Mission Impossible films, which are really quite... I started at four, right? So four, five. I think I'm just starting sixth. Seven is in the cinema coming out now. Have you seen it? You did. Excellent. Okay. Right. So... Fionnuala, go ahead.
No, well, I went back and I watched six myself at the weekend in anticipation of having to do this. And I have to say, as I was watching it, I was like, he's very hard to dislike him once you've seen him in, you know, in life. I wouldn't necessarily be a big Tom Cruise fan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see him in stuff and you're like, seriously, what is wrong with this picture? But you see him in The Mission Impossible and it's really his niche. He's just so awesome in it. And six is an amazing movie. We went to see this last night, courtesy of the Century Cinema. They were premiering their new cinema with the reclining seats and the whole lot. It was absolutely fabulous. Couldn't get a more comfortable place to be sitting in. Lovely, you can just lie back and watch the movie like as if you were at home on your couch. That is the one thing. But in fairness, with this movie like Mission Impossible, there's no way you're going to fall asleep in it because even if you started to doze off, the doom, 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 doom.
That would just be Fionnuala in B9 making that sound as she
coming down the steps.
As she did.
Yeah. Oh. Because you
falling
are
head
crazy.
Over heels. That was the old thing with the EastEnders theme. It's like someone falling down the stairs, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well,
in the dark, carrying the popcorn. And
and there they go. So we saw the movie last night. It is a very long movie. So what they've done with it now is they have these two. This is not the end of the franchise, which everybody seemed to think that it was originally, that because this is Dead Reckoning Part 1. So obviously there's going to be Part 2. People felt that this might be the end of the series. I mean, Cruise must be in his 60s now. We were just trying to figure it out last night.
He's just turning 60, I think.
Yeah, and in fairness, like some of the stunts that he does... you'd question the physics as to how they've actually managed to mind his own physical stamina at this hour of, you know.
I think in a way, I think that's what gives him the authenticity to, though he doesn't look his age, but to be able to do it because the audience knows and the talk is, you know, he did that himself. Mm. And I think, you know, it's not like all CGI. I mean, obviously there's elements of that, but I think that's why he's an authentic sort of good guy, because you feel in real life he's doing some of it. And I think
I think you're right. That's the way the idea of it is that you also feel the tension of it.
Yeah.
Because you know that he did do it himself, and you're like, you know, there's bits of them hanging upside down, rolling around in cars, as there is in all the other movies. You know, I don't want to be giving that in specific away in this. But like in all the movies, you see him and he's rolling around, he's hanging off mountains, he's hanging off the side of buildings, he's doing all kinds of stuff like that. And it does kind of heighten the tension of it when you know that he's done it himself. I don't know if it was because this movie is part one of two. This would not be in my top five favourite ones.
Right, okay. That's actually quite interesting comment.
It was... I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy it. And in fairness, the 2.5 hours went quite quickly.
Yeah.
Considering that. But it's very... kind of feels like as if it's a bit dragged out.
Right.
They could have cut 45 minutes out of it, which would purely have been explanations. Or swap that 45 minutes out for a few more kind of like explosions and, you know, jumping off crap. That's kind of what you're looking for from these movies. This movie in particular is all, the threat this time is AI. So that's the kind of idea of it. So it's sort of bringing it up with a bigger modern twist. Mm-hmm. They spend a lot of time explaining to us what the AI means and what that thing is, and you're like, you know,
spoon feeding.
I got it.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen this is not the first movie to ever or first TV program to use AI as any kind of a threat,
and so, it's on the news every day as well.
So it's, you know, it's that kind of a thing. So in that instance, this was a little bit disappointing. Now, when it got down to the nitty gritty of what the Mission Impossible are good for, it was awesome.
Yeah,
and you're just like, oh, seriously. I mean, the amount of money that they must spend on stuff that they just wreck alone, I'd say, is probably about 80 million of the 110 million that the movie costs to make. Because they're constantly...
110 million on what it will return seems like not much.
I know.
If you know what I can't believe I'm finding myself saying 110 million.
Isn't, I know, for much, to make a movie then, like when you think about all the things you could be doing with it. But I considering what they do with stuff in this movie, I wouldn't have thought it was. I mean, in fairness, you would assume, although Cruise probably gets it all on the and the sales, you know what I mean, the ticket sales and that kind of thing. That's probably where he gets his money out, because he could probably get 100 million for the movie alone.
So is there enough in this, you know, when you talked about it being part one of two, like, is there enough in this that you don't just leave thinking, right, we're halfway through the story, when's the next bit coming out? Like, is there enough in
Mike is probably a better one to ask about that than me, because to be honest, I've watched them all. So I couldn't imagine myself, even if it was terrible, I'd have to go back to figure out how it ends.
What I'm saying is, some people might go, oh, right, well, what I'll do is I'll wait for part two and I'll watch part one at home and then part two. Like, it's a good enough, stand enough film on its own.
Yes,
as well as it being within a two-parter.
I know exactly what you mean. It does make sense. Yeah, that's a good, smart question. I would say yes, you can see this, because the plot mechanics of this film are wrapped up within this film. It's just that there's something else that they're like, oh, we need to do this now, and then something else will have to be figured out. And then it's at the end of this movie, you're like, well, now we have to deal with the other thing.
In fairness, before the that organisation that was established to end the world, the rogue, I can't remember what it is, I know, but they have done that in the past, is what I'm saying, he's walking off and you think, right, now he's going to take a day off, isn't he? And the call comes in straight away saying, right, we've got our new threat immediately.
Without giving anything absolutely away. No, I think it stands well enough on its own, but there's clearly a to be continued there in your mind. Course, you're like, well, now they have, it's like they've done one thing and they always knew there was two things that have to be sorted, and you know, it's only towards the end of this movie that they find out what the second thing is.
I find, and I can say because I've been watching a couple of films this week, Simon Pegg annoying.
Oh.
I know he's the comic relief.
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
I like him.
It makes me
question, why would Ethan Hunt work
with this
agent?
Guy?
Well, to be honest, they've actually, and that was one of the things in this, they have kind of edited him a little bit more than he was originally. I mean, he used to be the big IT guy.
Yeah.
And he used to be kind of, you know, the guy in the office that was sort of saying,
on the field. Yeah.
Go right, go left, do this. You know, always used to remind me of any of those kind of spy movies where
Chloe
and
24, that kind of thing.
The person that's back in the office that's kind of doing the paperwork.
I mean, right at the start, five, I think, you know, this is when, again, not a spoiler because it's at the start and it's in the trailers, where Tom Cruise is hanging from the side of the plane and your boy's trying to panic. He's panicked and he's trying to open the doors and then he opens the cargo door and it's like, I would never work with this person again.
Yeah, why would you?
But anyway, as I say, I'm thinking too much to it. It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
They do. In fairness, they have good chemistry together on screen, the two of them together. And they, if you see them even being interviewed, they do, like, not only is he the
stooge,
kind of blanket around Tom Cruise and the movies, he also is when they're doing interviews that he kind of can sort of slag Tom Cruise off of it, which wouldn't necessarily be what Tom Cruise has been known for.
You get the feeling in this, I've never seen any of the other movies, but you get the feeling in this movie that there's a bond between the two characters. So it's like,
saw that in earlier films.
It's like you're hanging out with your mate and you might know your mate's a bit of an idiot, but you know what I mean? He's your mate and you trust him. Like, it's trust rather maybe than ability. It's like, here's someone he can trust. sure he might, you know.
Yeah. Are you a franchise fan, or you just watch them when it comes about?
I avoided the Mission Impossible films because when the first one came out, it did something that I'm a very passionate fan of the TV show.
Oh, here we go. Right, okay. And let me just get past all of that.
Right. But the cast of the original as well, like Peter Graves, Greg Morris, Martin Landau, they spoke out very strongly against the first film.
Oh, I shouldn't have cut across. I was joking. Yeah. What did they do
In the very first movie, the villain of the first movie was the leader of the team through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, Jim Phelps. So to me and to long-term fans of the show, that'd be like saying Captain Kirk was a bad guy the whole time.
Right, okay.
Or as if it was like, imagine you went to see the new James Bond film. Mm. And Bond was a double agent the whole time.
Well, listen, 20 years later.
30 years later.
No, it's 20 years since the first Mission Impossible, I think. Something like that.
27.
Since the first Mission Impossible film.
27.
No, it's not. Swear to God. Mission Impossible 1, the film's 27 years old.
1996.
Well, I am so old, it's not even funny.
But anyway, you got over it. Act young.
You got over it.
I went along last night.
So what would you give it out of 10 then?
7. It's a good action movie.
I think that's decent.
The last half hour of this movie is spectacular.
Yeah.
Takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk. A lot of talk, which I didn't expect in the Mission Impossible.
A lot of them, you know. It's not.
But the last half.
Chases, but there's a lot of yapping in between.
Yeah, but it's spectacular.
Yeah, in particular, I don't know why. They just really over-explained. To my mind,
they kind
of, you know, because every time they got into a new group of people, they were explaining the same thing again.
And although, as you said there, like, we're well invested in what AI is in the real world, but most of the characters in this film seem never to have heard of it.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, what? This computer learns?
All right, so what would you give it out of 10 for now?
I have to say, I'm surprised, but I think I'd probably settle around the 7 as well with this.
I think if this is 5 in your ranking, you have to come back a bit, don't you?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, after seeing, because I, as I said, you know, the terrestrial channels are all showing the earlier movies and that kind of thing. And so 6 happened to be on, and I was like, oh, boom, I'm just going to watch 6 now and get myself, you know, back into the headspace of where everything is happening. I thought 6 was just gripping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is a little bit less so because the first hour or so, you just feel that it kind of
drives.
But it's definitely one to see on the big screen because the action, I was very impressed with all of it.
Watching the trailer, you really can tell stuff that's green screen and not green screen.
Oh,
You know what I mean? Like, and they do a lot of the stuff.
I was impressed with the action. I was also impressed with Hayley Atwell from the Captain America movies. Gotta say.
I have to, at one point, she's driving and they're in a chase scene. And I am saying, Tom Cruise actually looks frightened. I was like, he's usually the one that's just driving. He's usually the one doing everything. I was like, my God, he kind of looks scared there that he's not in control of it.
All right, we'll play a bit of the trailer heading into the ad break.
The world is changing. Truth is vanishing. War is coming.
Hi all, have been watching Hijack on Apple TV. Stars Idris Elba as a business troubleshooter caught up in a plane hijacking while travelling between Saudi Arabia and London. Only 4 episodes, an exceptional watch so far, keeps you on the edge of the seat, definitely one that is on my to-do list. You know, I think you find maybe when the nights draw in a little bit, I do find it hard to sort of, you know, really invest in something. I don't want to pull the blinds down when it's bright outside. You know that sort of
Yeah, I agree. No,
so
I mean,
I'm kind of saving up a few of these for, you know.
Yeah. With the new announcement of the actors going on strike anyways.
Here we go.
Don't worry about it. 75 days
what
into
do
the
they
writers.
Want, though? Have they not got enough money? Or are they in support of the writers?
They're not getting enough money. But it's not about, it's not about the Tom Cruises. It's about, you know, the 200 other people that are on your, you know, the series that you watch.
They're looking for pay equity.
It's Hollywood's version of RTE.
That's not bad, actually. That's not bad.
I love that Fran Drescher is the president of the saga. Yeah. I'm like, Fran, I love it.
I love Fran Drescher.
She was in Friends, wasn't she?
No. Briefly. No, she did sound a bit like your one in Friends. No, she was in The Nanny. Do you remember Nanny? She's very nasally.
I thought she was in
Friends. There's a similar actress.
Younger actress.
Okay, fair enough.
She's in the thing. No, but that's what they're looking for is pay. Because they think about it now, like series
used to be... It's not trickling down.
And series used to be 20 to, you know, anywhere between 22 and 28 episodes. They were repeated all the time. You got residuals from it. Now they're
and there is
a
thing
on,
as well. It comes up a lot in these articles, but the streaming services, there's a huge question mark over, like, they're not great at handing out money to the talent. And they say a lot that there's a big mystery over how many people are watching shows. But the executives are getting massive bonuses continuously. So there is money there.
Yeah, right, okay.
But it's not going down to the talent.
Hi, Greg and the TV too. Before I forget, DL versus Dublin in Ballybuffet on Sunday. I can only assume Finula's back or she's going to need a bigger fan. But Michael's not there with 48 degrees Celsius in Spain. No, we got her back before it got really
before
hot.
Before it all happened.
Has anyone seen the Sky comedy show Someone Somewhere? It's actually more of a dramedy. In where a woman comes back to look after her parents after her sister died in Manhattan, Kansas. It's worth a look. I think Michael mentioned that Quantum Leap reboot once, as it's just started last night in Paramount, which I believe had its first mention of AI. As the strike started last night in the US and spread to the Galway film Fla, if it's one person that needed a Quantum Leap this week, it would be Tubbs. And in terms of time travel. Okay. Thanks very much for that. Always well, always well thought out. Right. Jack Ryan. This is kind of in the Mission Impossible space-ish kind of thing. It's described on Amazon. It keeps being pushed to me. Jack Ryan, the final season. Are you in it? Starring in it, watching it?
Well, obviously I could. But I am sadly wasn't asked to be starring it. But no, it is. It's on. It's the final series season.
It's probably spam.
The contract is probably sitting there.
I am a prince, and I want you to star in the new Jack Ryan. And you're like, oh,
forward me,
forward
somebody,
me.
Yeah, no. Somebody wanted me to rest 350 million euros in my account. I was tempted.
Fair enough.
But no, this is the final. I love this move. This when it started this series because it was just. I thought they did a really good interpretation of the books.
Yes.
I was shocked at how good John Krasinski was as Jack Ryan because when I first heard he was doing it, I was like that. When you think of the guy from The Office or even a few other
comedic
things
guy,
he's been in, you kind of think of him more in a comedy role and not necessarily in action. It definitely has sort of played itself out though. There's only, to me, it's heading into 24 territory, which I know you gentlemen love, but it's like for the love of God. You know, or Liam Neeson and Taken, you know, just ditch the daughter. She's not worth all the effort. You know, that kind of way. You're sort of
I start thinking, how many people are going to have to die? How much stuff is going to have to be destroyed to save this person?
Yeah.
Singular.
And just like the same thing. So there's a little bit of that in this one now. But I think they know that themselves are just using this sort of to round off the story more than anything else.
Is this four? Three.
Yes, this
four.
Is four. Okay. Yeah. So the first two were great. The third one was fine.
Yes.
The other way is in, it was an enjoyable watch, but it just wasn't up to the kind of quality or the standard of the writing and that kind of thing that you had in the last one. This one is, excuse me. This one is based on, if you watched the earlier ones, there's always been kind of a thread through it with regard to the CIA, is there corruption in it, that kind of thing. This is finally rooting out exactly what that corruption is and how they're going to, like, you know, redo American intelligence community.
Yeah.
That's the kind of way that it's working out. I'm halfway through because it drops weekly now. It doesn't go through the thing. So it's watchable.
Can I say, though, the lead, I never got into him.
John Krasinski,
never was like, you know, I want to get behind him. I think he's amazing. Perfectly fine.
Yes.
But I never really felt I was rooting for him or.
The way you would for Kiefer.
I don't
as
want
Jack.
To be him.
Yeah.
Do you know that sort of a way? Like,
yeah, I do, of course. Yeah, yeah, just, yeah.
Now, maybe that's the character he's playing because he's a little bit, you know, maybe ordinary guy. I don't know. Yeah. But
I think that is the hook of that series, isn't it? Is that meant to be the. Particularly with the early
steps
stories.
Steps from behind the typewriter.
It's the ordinary guy who it really belongs, no pun intended here, but in an office. He's an office drone who sort of gets out in the field. And I don't mean saving the hay.
Yeah.
He's out in the field, he's doing what.
He wouldn't save hay that weather.
No.
It's a bit late now too.
Oh, you said it.
It was a bit late now. Silage now. If you haven't cut your hair,
I can tell you a silage story.
I'm afraid it's silage.
From that bad year in 1985.
Just wouldn't be good hay.
He knows a bit about farming.
I do.
Does Greg actually know anything about farming?
Of course, it's too late for hay now. If you're cutting hay, it's not going to be good hay.
He watches Clarkson. He knows what he's chatting about.
No, it's silage worth an hour. That's if you can get a couple of cuts out of it. But the price of fertilizer is through the roof. What are you giving it out of 10 so far then? It's
Well, if
I'm sorry, yeah. But you're not giving me the impression. Feels a little bit like you're labouring through it.
To be honest, it's not. I'm not labouring through because it's on a week by week, and I don't think I could sit down and watch
eight of them in a row.
Which I have a tendency to be a bit of a binger, and that over a couple of days, I'd kind of come home every evening and watch two or whatever, and then get through the whole thing in a week. I can't imagine watching this like that. I need that little bit of distance from it along the way. I mean, if I'm giving the Mission Impossible a 7, I'm definitely only giving this about a 6.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it's going to kind of pay off in the end by giving you sort of a rounded
finish
closure.
The story, exactly. And you're also in the position whereby it's alongside having read the books as well. I see Happy Valley's being pushed. I'm not sure if I ever gave that a chance.
Gets great.
Is it good?
I've never seen the last final series because I missed it on the BBC.
But it's worth watching the early ones.
Oh, the early ones are brilliant. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Is it a drama or a cop show or?
It's a drama.
Right.
But
okay.
Basically, what it is it's this woman and she's a police officer. Yeah. There's a lot of kind of family stuff that's happened in her life. She's raising one of her grandchildren.
Yeah.
She has another child. It's all about different things like that. And then this
she's juggling
all that along with being a cop in this, I can't remember the size
rural
of the town.
Rural area, yeah.
Relatively rural. And then this sociopath comes up.
Okay, might try
and
it.
He's brilliant in it.
It's actually all available on the RTE player. I think that's now, I'm not sure if the last series is. I did say all, but I presume they wouldn't be flagging it unless they had it.
Well, because they did the first three series, and then there was nothing for like 5 years.
Yeah.
So it did finish on the third series, as in, you know, the story kind of came to an end. But then what they've done then now is they've kind of jumped forward in the same length of time that they didn't do and went back to it again.
Okay, listener says, Greg, did you hear about Mel Gibson's new film, The Sound of Freedom? If not, please look it up and the controversy around it. It's mind-boggling. Now, that is something I've not been aware of at all. Mm-hmm. And normally, if it's big, I pick up on those things. I have a bit of a celebrity obsession.
Yeah, I've seen it trending, and I must confess I haven't followed the link yet.
It's trending.
Yeah, it's been trending all week, and I've been like, I must get to that.
All right.
Then I didn't.
Greg, could you mention, please, there'll be a country charity afternoon at Voodoo Venue Letterkenny, Voodoo Charity Country Sunday in aid of the Donegal Rape Crisis Centre. It's on July 16th. Lots of brilliant new local music talent guesting on the day. The Letterkenny and District Pipe Band will open the show, and added to the bill are The Notions, Honky Tonk Heroes, Air Bears, Jack McBurty, Kaz Hunter, and MC, our own Marty Freely. It runs from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. and you're invited to go along and support. More than happy to mention that. Good morning to Annie, Doreen, Mary, Charlie, Una, Geraldine, Kathleen, Grania, Audrey, Charlie and Jude, all amongst those of you watching the show across our social media and our website. It's very much appreciated. 4 million live minutes viewed of this show in the first 5 months of the year. So we really do appreciate that. And many of you watching on catch up as well. It's available on our YouTube channel. You can watch it on your smart TV. Most TVs now have the YouTube app loaded on it. Just search Highland Radio Ireland or on your Fire Stick as well. We're also on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. And you can just click Watch Live on our website. So as I say, I appreciate all of you involved in that way and whichever way. Let's see. Jack Ryan season 4 seems to be following the original movie Clear and Present Danger, which there's no harm in that. That's one of my favourites, but I went through a stage where everything I watched with Harrison Ford in, I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. No one's mentioning whatchamacallit.
Indiana Jones?
That's exactly
Indiana
right.
Indiana Jones, yeah. Reading your mind?
When's it on?
You're now thinking the number, Greg, and it's the number 7.
It's on now.
Is it?
The Indiana Jones movie is out now. I know I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah,
see
a
beautiful face there. Now, The Outlaws, both of you have... Carolyn, could you just double check what Mark's coming in under for me, please, if you don't mind, just to make sure I bring the right person in. So both of you have The Outlaws down here.
Yes.
What kind of a program's that?
It is a Netflix film. It's a comedy. It's produced by Adam Sandler, so it's in that wheelhouse. He's not in it, but it's of the type of movies that he do. If you look up Adam Sandler on Rotten Tomatoes, you'll see critics never embrace his movies. Mm-hmm. They've all got like 11%.
He embraces Netflix's money and the audience seems to love him.
Oh, audiences love him, yeah. And this, I absolutely loved this movie. I'll tell you, lay my hand, the cards on the table. Adam Devine is the star of this one. I'm a fan of him from the comedy series Workaholics, which ran for 7 seasons. which was supposed to be getting a movie, but Paramount just pulled the plug on it, along with about 20 other projects recently, which is disappointing. He plays the sort of character he always plays. He's sort of a dweeb or a loser, a very annoying type of character. But somehow he's marrying Nina Dobrev from The Vampire Diaries, who is a babe. You have to just put your common sense on hold and you think, how did he land her? Because it just wouldn't work. He is a bank manager and he's just...
What people say about Aisling.
Obnoxious.
Wow, is she away for the weekend? I'm going to give her a chance, I know. Give her a chance to calm down after that one.
So he's
I'm sure no one is going to go in there. It never happens.
Never.
Sorry, I'm ruining
No, you're not. I'm just... it's interesting, the door that's open there. So basically, he's a bank manager and he's never met her parents because they've been in the Amazon with a tribe, supposedly. But they're going to come for the wedding, the impending wedding. And it's Pierce Brosnan and it's Ellen Barkin. And they're both fantastic, but they both hate him because they can see, they call him a little white goober or doober or something. They hate him. Brosnan hates him. Now, this is the very start of the movie and about 10, 15 minutes into the movie, his bank is robbed by two people. And he suspects midway through the robbery that it's her parents have robbed his bank. And as it turns out, no real spoiler here, he's right. They are bank robbers. So he has to figure out how he's going to prove this. He starts investigating it. There are multiple twists in this. They're all completely improbable. There are like three bank robberies. The second bank robbery is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I thought it was hilarious. It's very juvenile humour. This is not, we were chatting, it's not like Dodgeball or one of the, you know, these movies that are quite smart. There's nothing smart about this, but it's very funny. If you watch,
would a critic say it doesn't take itself too seriously?
Yeah, critics didn't embrace this at all.
It's but that doesn't matter, that doesn't because matter, it will be a success.
Yeah, it's going to be a success. I think it deserves to be a success. Brosnan is great fun. He has a very weird accent in this. Yeah, it's weird.
He ruined it for me.
It didn't. Well, it's weird. He's putting on a, but he's an interesting tough guy. Now, this is a comedy, but it's an action film. There's big action in this. There's a lot of gunfire. There's a lot of people dying. And I like these comedy thrillers right back to the 80s when you were watching things like Fletch. I like it when
you like your comedy thrillers too.
I know. I've watched this as well. I watched it. I actually downloaded it to watch on the plane on my flight back and it was only out that day. It was out last Friday. It's missed the mark for me.
Right.
It's a silly kind of a comedy in the line of, like, you know, Adam Sandler did like The Water Boy and you know, it's in
Happy Gilmore.
That sort of a it's in that kind of a frame rather than this. I'd like it to have been a tiny bit smarter. Ellen Barkin is great in it, and I was really, to be honest, she was more the reason I was going to watch it, as I do like Adam Devine as well. But she hasn't been in anything that I've seen anyways in quite a while, and I was like, oh God, you know, you always wonder what brings them back. What is it about the script or whatever? She was very good in it. Brosnan, I don't understand it. They wanted him to kind of be sort of suave, sophisticated type of person. And then they went and they gave him a Scottish accent.
Right, I was not like, necessary.
Why are we doing that? Like, he already has a very suave and sophisticated accent in real life. So there was just a few little bits like that.
Films come down to whether or not you like Adam Sandler or not. He is really Marmite.
I think he's Marmite, yeah.
You know. Like, I enjoyed Happy Gilmore at that time when I was that age.
Yes.
But I really do find him grating. Annoying.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And this is nothing about his personality. Well, you know,
I didn't mind. Like, he did the two murder mystery ones himself now. And I've seen
they're great. And the critics didn't embrace the second one.
The first one was fine. But the second one was definitely, I thought, an improvement on the first one. It was definitely going to be a bit more to kind of go on.
And when he does a drama. Like Uncut Gems.
Yeah, he's
fantastic.
Yes, but as soon as he walked on, I saw something completely different. Okay, stay right where you are. We'll come back. We'll come back to get your reviews on that.
Yep.
I think I can say hello to Mark O'Sullivan, originally from Bunkrana, executive producer of Jericho Ridge. Are you there, Mark? Mark, can you hear me? No, he can't. He's muted there. I don't know. Are you speaking to me or not? Right, I'll give him one more chance here before I try something else. Mark, are you there? No. Okay, maybe he can hear me. Can you hear me, Mark?
Can hear you. Sorry.
It's all right.
A bit noisy in the rain.
I like the background, the backdrop. It looks very attractive altogether. How are you getting on?
We had to run into a pub out of the rain, unfortunately. Oh. It's pouring cats and dogs.
Right, it is. It's not going to improve much. But look at the weather won't affect the European premiere at the 35th Galway Film Fla tonight of Jericho Ridge. This is a film you're executive producer of, described as an action-packed thriller set in the remote mountains town in North Washington. What was it like working on this project, Mark?
It was amazing. You know, it took us about 4 years to put this together. In the end, because of COVID, we actually cancelled it about 2 weeks before COVID kicked in. And then we had to recast and put it together again. So it was a bit of a long haul, but it ended up being a brilliant project to work on. We ended up shooting in Kosovo in the end. We were gonna shoot over in the States at one point, Canada, and then we ended up shooting up in the mountains outside Pristina. Believe it or not.
And just for those who may not be aware, Mark, what is the role of an executive producer in a production of this scale?
You basically put the money together and manage the process from development through to production, through to, you know, marketing and sales, post-production and all of that. So A to Z, effectively, you're kind of across it from the start to the end.
Yeah, no, it's great to get a European premiere for the Galway Film Fla. It's a great platform. It's a great platform for your movie, but it's also a great film for the Galway Film Fla to be able to showcase.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. You know, this is our kind of worldwide premiere. Sitting here with Harvey Ascott, and I think Will, actually the director, is on the Zoom as well. Are you there, Will?
That's who Will is. Thank you very much for producing this for me, Mark. Sorry about that.
We thought we'd all pile in. So I'm here sitting here with Harvey, who's my co-producer on this.
Hey, Harvey.
And Will Gilby is the director. He's on board as well. Hello. Maybe I'll let him talk about the film a bit.
Yeah, Will. Good morning to you, Will. Great to have you on. We're speaking to Mark O'Sullivan there. We have you with us as well. And congratulations getting this in the bag with all the challenges, of course, with COVID and everything else and choosing locations. It's great to get this in front of people to enjoy, I'm sure. Tell us a bit about the story, Mark. William.
The film is set in rural America. It mostly takes place in a sheriff's office, sort of kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's about a mother and her son getting stuck in the middle of a sort of very tense, very terrifying situation that sort of turns into a siege about halfway through the film. And it's about their kind of dysfunctional relationship and how it and they cope with the sort of terrifying and very tense, action-packed sort of night that they go through, essentially.
Yeah, and you've been able, obviously, to get together a great team with the likes of Mark, but also a great cast as well.
Yeah, no, a fantastic cast. I think we got very lucky. It was a strange time casting this. We were just coming out of COVID. And you know, trying to get cast was very difficult, but I think we managed. I think they've all done superbly. I mean, it's a mostly, well, it's there's an Irish actor in it, but I think the rest of the cast are 100% English, and everyone's obviously playing American, so they've done a fantastic job with all that. But yeah, I think they're great across the board. Actually, I think they're really good.
That's a huge challenge in and of itself, isn't it? In terms of casting, because you want everything to be perfect in the finished product, and obviously the actors pulled through for you on that.
I know it's huge, but I mean, I thought it's a thing like English actors. If you can't do an American accent, it's you know, work is going to be pretty thin on the ground. And sort of Nikki Amuka-Bird, who played our lead, has played so many American roles that she's pretty much got it off, you know. And then we had a accent coach for the rest of the actors, but they're all very skilled at it. And they, you know, they all bring something different and something exciting to it.
Brilliant. We've got the premiere this evening. In terms of its general release, I might put that to you, Mark. Where will we be able to enjoy this film? Is it going to get a cinema release? Is it streaming platform, or is that still being worked on? Or what's the story?
Yeah, that's still being worked on, but I think we'll probably do a theatrical release in the United States and the UK and Ireland. We're hoping to do that anyway. Let's see how the reviews go tomorrow morning. But I feel that, you know, we're gonna get some decent reviews on this film. It's turned out really well. Seems to be a lot of buzz around it in Galway, So, you know, fingers crossed that helps us to do a theatrical release in the cinemas, you know.
And which, who do you, I mean, which is more important? Because we talk about this, son, we have a feature here where we talk about various TV shows and films, and often it comes down to something being a success and the audience loving it, but critics sort of being cool on it. Are critics as influential now as they may have once been, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, yes, they are for sure. And audiences as well. You know, putting it out theatrically always drives, I suppose, the success of it on different distribution platforms. You know, and ultimately streamers are, it's just a different distribution platform. So the success theatrically in the reviews, when people are, you know, reading up on it or whatever, you know, they see great reviews, they're going to, you know, they're going to click on it. You know, effectively.
Yeah. And William, from a director's point of view, you're directing this for how it will look on the big screen. That's where you want people to see it, isn't it? I'm not sure if people would direct something separately for the small screen, but you want people to have the full immersive experience of your work, I'm presuming.
I mean, yeah, 100%. You know, seeing something on the big screen with an audience is, you know, is everyone's dream, really. You know, it's where it looks best. It's where it sounds best. You get the communal experience with everyone else. But, you know, the reality is it's quite hard, certainly for lower budget films now, to get up on the big screens and compete against giant multi-hundred-million-dollar blockbusters. But, you know, with hopefully you know, intelligent and creative approach to the problems, we should get it up there for some people to see.
Brilliant.
We should be cool.
Yeah, and Mark, even if budgets are tight, you have to make them stretch because the audience aren't always that forgiven to say, oh, that's good considering the budget. They expect a certain product, don't they?
Indeed, they do. I mean, they're certainly, your audience is not looking at a movie for its budget, as you just said. So, you know, listen, making movies is a very expensive business. I was about to say hobby. it's not a hobby.
It's a hobby that we get paid for. Right?
Exactly. Well, you know what? I mean, the nice thing is, you know, we all do it because we love it. But it's an expensive game.
Yeah,
well, you got to pay your investors back eventually.
Well, that's it too, and that all comes down to you. Listen, lads, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck this evening. We really appreciate it. William, thank you for joining in. Well done on this. I suppose, you know, this is to bed now. You're probably looking towards your next project if you don't have things running concurrently.
100%, yeah. So I've got a couple of scripts I'm planning. I've got up and running and I'm trying to get going. It looks like there's going to be obviously a massive global delay with things like that, with the WGA strike, which are, you know, both completely necessary for you know, our businesses and our careers and our livelihoods going forward. But I think, you know, we'll all wait out the storm and then hopefully come back stronger. And yeah, so watch this space. Next one hopefully coming soon.
For sure. And Mark is literally and metaphorically waiting out the storm down in Galway. Okay, listen, thanks so much for your time. Take care. Mark O'Sullivan from Bunkrana, executive producer of Jericho Ridge. He has his assistant producer with him, but I missed his name. My apologies. And also the director of that film as well, which is good. Okay. Say what?
One to watch for.
Yeah, definitely. I would have far more interest in watching that now, having spoken to the people that are behind it. Mm-hmm. You kind of feel you know the process a little bit.
Absolutely.
I feel like I deserve a credit almost. That's how involved I am.
Special thanks at the end. They have time to put it in before tonight.
But look, it's Jericho Ridge, so keep your eyes out for it. It's produced, executive producer is a Bunkrana man there as well. More from Michael and Fionnuala shortly. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Of course, we are in the company still of Michael and Fionnuala. More to come from them. But we have in studio with us a regular guest on this programme, Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather. Very welcome to the show. Very welcome to Donegal, Alan.
How are we doing?
I think you told me that you were going to bring the good weather with you to Donegal.
Well, I brought some sunny spells. I managed to make the most of it.
What about the scattered showers, Alan? It's the scattered showers.
It's more the downpour that's coming for the afternoon, I'm afraid.
Yeah, come here. Have you been, you've been around the country a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I was camping in Wicklow and we've been up near Coldaff for the last week.
Lovely.
So we're here for another couple of days. So yeah, we made the most of it. We got out in the sunny spells, Wild Antigua, Walking with Alpacas on the Wild Atlantic Way, that was amazing.
Brilliant.
Wild Ireland, that was really amazing as well. Lots of beaches, you know. Once you're wet in the sea, does it matter if it's raining?
No.
So, yeah, that Kuldaff beach is amazing. Yeah. But yeah, no, we've really enjoyed it. I mean, I have to say the one thing that's left a mark is the friendliness of the people.
Good.
The genuine welcome that you get. It's, yeah, it really has actually left a mark, yeah.
Alan, are you obsessed with weather? When did your interest, because how do you describe yourself?
Just whether a hobbyist or weather enthusiast.
Well, enthusiast, I think it's slightly more than a hobby. But
yeah.
Is that something that, like, do you love statistics? Do you love trends?
It's mainly my interest of snow, believe it or not, got me interested in weather and why doesn't it snow and why does it snow and what do we need? And then tracking extreme weather, watching, I have an IT background, that's what my day job is. So watching the computer models and trying to see the different, you know, assembles and reading all the different charts. I guess it's kind of a data and a weather kind of a mix that's kind of driving the interest, yeah.
I think it's also driven advances in weather forecasting. I'm not interested in pitching you against any other organisations, but, you know, there was a very strict policy, it seemed, for a long time. 3 days, that's it. That's all we can guarantee, 3 days and we're certain. And then we've got people like you who present it in such a way where you respect your audience that they're not going to hold you to it, though some do. but, you know, you're prepared to push it out a bit and say, well, look, this is what could happen. This is what is likely to happen, but, you know, I'm not telling you. And I think really we found the likes of Metairn and others are having to go out into that area of speculation. And I think it's the likes of you that have put it up to them and say, well, you know, we need to do that too.
Yeah, I think, you know, I will show what the weather chart show could happen, which is exactly as you say. And I think it's trying to give people, like, at the moment, you know it's going to be a wet afternoon, but you're looking for something. So I kind of look at the longer range and look at the trends and trying to see what's going to happen. And, like, sometimes it's good and, you know, there's kind of good consensus. And other times, like at the moment, next weekend, it's really uncertain what's going to happen. We have a battle of a high and a low. But I think to show people...
The low always seems to win.
I tweeted this morning that low is the form horse, unfortunately. Right, so if we're back in low or high, it seems to be low at the moment. Look, it's in contrast with people suffering from extreme heat in parts of Italy and Greece and Spain. You know, there's absolutely crazy temperatures, over 46 degrees forecast for Sardinia in Italy, you know, so... I suppose we have different levels of problems. Like a wet evening, we've decided to go to the cinema here in Letterkenny, and, you know, we'll have the local fire roaring in the cottage that we're in.
Nice, isn't
you
know, it? It's not a bad little way to spend an evening.
I always say it's a lot easier to warm yourself than it is to cool yourself.
Yeah, I think you're right. What annoys you most? Clickbait weather.
Yeah,
that must be up there.
It is.
Put in there, and you're trying to put some science out there, and. You know, if it's 16 degrees, they'll say, oh, it's going to be hotter than somewhere in Spain that's colder than 16 degrees or something. Or it might be, you know, we'll tell you precisely when the snowstorm's going to hit. You know, and then you get into the article, it's completely ambiguous. Is that a bit of an annoyance? It's part of it, but...
It is. It's an annoyance because, to be honest with you, I've had to restrict a little bit my tweeting in terms of what I write because some of the tabloid newspapers have taken my tweets and written headlines that don't in any way reflect what my tweet says. And then I get messages from people saying, you said such and such was going to happen. And I said, well, I actually didn't. But yeah, so that is an annoyance. But look, that's you put yourself out there and everybody loves weather. The clickbait stuff, it just, for whatever reason, people just love to click on weather.
Yeah, of course, because it's serious and it's not serious and it just hits all the right points. Okay, so wet and windy Friday today, isn't it?
Yeah, very heavy rain moving up. We've had over 30 millimetres of rain since midnight in parts of the south, and that's making its way north. So very wet afternoon, very wet evening. We'll miss the strongest of the winds here in the northwest, but again, wet overnight. Tomorrow morning, showery, some heavy showers moving in again. Very cloudy, dull day tomorrow. Temperatures only 15 or 16 degrees. Sunday, sunny spells. There will be showers, but there'll be some more sunny spells on Sunday. So that's a better day. The better news is next week is going to see less rainfall. Now, it's not going to be dry, but it's going to see less rainfall.
Fine. Yeah.
And there'll be more opportunities in between the showers. So for anybody who's coming up here next week or anyone who's here next week, there'll definitely be more in the way of dry spells next week. Next weekend, as I say, really uncertain. We have this high pressure trying to push up from the southwest, but we have all these lows that just keep coming down. Eventually, I'd like to think that the Azores High will come back and say a little hello to us before the summer's out. And people need to remember August is still the meteorological season of summer. So, you know, July is okay, it's not looking great, but we still have a whole other month of summer. And sure, everyone knows when the kids go back to school, the weather gets better. You don't need to be a weatherman to tell you that.
I love it. I love it. Love it. All right, listen, Alan, brilliant. Great to have you and your family up here. Enjoy the cinema, enjoy the fire. I might start panic tomorrow, hijack tomorrow if the weather's that bad. All right, but listen, Alan, thank you very much for
Thanks very much.
And as you say, when the weather breaks, it's really quite pleasant. Yesterday, there were some lovely spells of sunshine and a decent heat. All right, Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather, thanks so much for timing your trip to Letterkenny to come in and see us. We'll be back with more after these. So tune into Around the Northwest today. After the headlines at 12, John and the team will be broadcasting live from Inishowen Credit Union in Carndonagh. It's a fun-filled day in store for all the community as they celebrate the Carndonagh branch going 5 days a week. Tune in, or why not even pop down for some ice cream, spot prizes, and so much more. All proceeds made from today will be going towards Friends of Inishowen Hospice. So that's Around the Northwest live from Inishowen Credit Union in Carndonagh. Of course, we want you to listen, but if you're in and around that area, and maybe even bring the kids down for half an hour or however long you want to. Right. So that was interesting. I like the weather.
Yeah. It's great to have someone who's passionate. You can respond to passion and expertise, somebody who's really passionate about, and someone who knows what they're talking about. It's great.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Exactly.
It really is.
Everything that's absent from this show.
I didn't want to open that door.
Are you going to go watch anything this week or anything planned?
I am away down home, to my family.
And I'm down in Galway. I'm going to see a play called Bedbound by Colin Meaney. It's part of the Arts Festival, which has just started now this weekend.
In Galway?
Yeah.
It's good buzz down there because you've the film festival going as well.
Yeah, the film festival has been hit a little bit already straight away. They lost Matthew Modine, which I would have definitely have gone to try and see him if I
What's
if
that
he'd
about,
been
sorry?
There. Matthew Modine is has a new movie that's out. You know, remember he used to be big back in our day. Now he used to be kind of the heartthrob back in the 80s. Yeah.
He's still busy.
Always at the film fair in Galway, they always get a big name like that. It's not, you know, somebody that people would recognise.
I get you, yeah.
They do a premiere of whatever their movie is and then they have a Q&A. They're big and lots of big Q&A. So he's a new movie out with John Cleese and himself and a few others. And he is the president of the...
So it's the strike thing. Then?
He's unable. See, this is going to be the thing now that we, you know, we don't think it's a big deal, but they won't be making anything. There'll be no more promotion of any of the stuff that's currently been made.
But who accedes to their demands? Is it the industry? Is it the studios? Or
it's the movie studios and the platforms.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like exactly the names who's in it, but it's all those things whoever owns Amazon Prime. There is Prime, Disney, as well as the actual movie and TV production studios. Yeah. That seems to be who they were sitting down at the table with.
Yes.
No white smoke of a solution yet. It's really early days.
Oh, it's the early days, yeah. I mean, in fact, early in the week, I know we're getting there, but yeah, it looks less and less likely. I mean, there was a well-publicised Zoom call. The studio heads were just basically... building the barricades on Monday of this week. Yes. So
and putting well, if they give out put, into their yeah. thing is if they give in to them, then they have to give in to the writers, and then all of a sudden, then you're just which
it's going to be a long one.
So
I think.
It is, yeah, and it's going to have a major impact on what we're watching next year.
Content.
This
gap.
Time next year, we're going to end up talking about stuff that we're repeating.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
the things.
I'll be taking out the Baywatch DVDs again.
I'll be rewatching The West Wing for the 8th time.
He only went from VHS to DVDs because it pauses better.
There you go. All right, if you have 5 seconds, I want to say hello to Deirdre. I met her yesterday. You know how I love when people come up to me and recognise my voice?
Yeah.
And randomly, I was in the hairdresser, head wrapped up in a towel, the whole thing, chatting away to my hairdresser, Donna, lovely lady.
Were you singing the Mission Impossible theme?
And Deirdre was sitting over on the other chair and she went, oh, you must be Fionnuala from Highland Radio.
Oh,
boom, fame at last. Fame.
So Deirdre.
Yes.
Hi, Deirdre. Okay, thank you very much, Michael and Fionnuala. We really appreciate your time, as always. That's where we have to leave it on the programme today.